Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Avoiding yourself, it's so easy to do because it's hard. You're going to find out stuff that you didn't really want to find out. You're going to realize things that you didn't want to realize. But oftentimes that numbness is simply just a protective mechanism. Essentially, feeling numb or emotionally shut down is the side effect of other things going on in your life. Something that I'm really learning is that I don't always have to chase the high highs and I don't have to chase the low lows. I can simply just be in the middle and be okay with that. Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to or back to the show. Thank you so much for clicking on today's episode. My name is Lily, I'm your host, and today we are talking all about our feelings. No surprise there, this entire podcast is pretty much just chronicling my feelings, but today specifically, we are going to talk about how to stop feeling numb and how to find little tiny bits of happiness in the mundane and whatever else just kind of like pops into my brain that I feel the need to share with you guys today. But before we get into all of that, I just want to say a huge thank you for all the birthday wishes and for helping me to celebrate 24, which is really cool and really exciting. And I really just feel all the love, and I'm just really grateful for you guys and really grateful for the people that I have in my life, because my friends and family just truly made this birthday feel like just so special. And I don't know what it was, but I started crying last night because I was like, oh my gosh, I just have the best friends in the world that like sent me sweet texts and like wrote notes and like dropped off gifts. And like, I felt so loved, and I just wanted to say thank you guys so much. And a lot of them do listen to the pod, which I really didn't realize until I made my life update episode like a couple weeks ago. And everyone was texting me and was like, hey, congrats on school and like all that stuff. And I was like, wait, you guys listen to the pod? Like, I didn't realize people closest to me listened. So thanks guys so much for all the birthday love, and I'm just really feeling it and I appreciate you so much. This past weekend was super fun. We did brunch on Sunday with a couple of my girlfriends. We went to Garten in Severna Park. Actually, I think it's pronounced Garten, like G-A-T-E-N. It's like a German beer garden situation. It's super cute. So we did that, and then my friend Madeline made me a really yummy cake, and it was like a lemon gluten-free. It was super, super good. So if you guys are in like the Severna Park, Annapolis, Baltimore area, and you need a gluten-free cake, reach out to my friend Madeline or just send me a DM and I'll send you her info, because she makes the best and yummiest cakes. And I keep telling her she needs to start a cake business. So this is her shout out. This is her plug. She needs to start a cake business and you guys need to buy her cakes. So let me know if you need a gluten-free cake, because Madeline makes them and they're so good. And then, so that was Sunday. Oh, we ended up going out to dinner. My mom was up, so we went out to dinner with my mom and Lexi. We walked around Eastport, and then we went to a place called Adams. I think it's just Adams on 4th. Yeah, that makes sense. Adams on 4th, and it was just a bar restaurant situation. It was good. I got a piece of steak, and then on Monday, my actual birthday, we worked out in the morning. Okay, I gotta explain the disco ball helmet to you guys, because I had so many people swipe up on that Instagram story. Yes, I broke my Instagram break just for my birthday so I could post stuff. And I'm not usually like a big birthday. I say that, but I so am. I'm the type of person that's like, it's my birthday, like everybody pay attention to me. But other than that, I'm pretty humble. Anyway, The disco ball helmet, because so many of you asked about it. The disco ball helmet was something that Lexi wanted for her birthday. There is a season of Below Deck. I think it's Below Deck Down Under, where they all pass around this disco ball helmet. And like, it's kind of the punishment if you're deemed the crew member that needs the most improvement for that week, you have to wear the disco ball helmet. So when I asked Lexi what she wanted for her birthday, she said the disco ball helmet. And so I got the disco ball helmet. This one's obviously way cheaper than the one that they had. I think that they made theirs. But I just got this one off of Amazon. So yeah, you can get it on Amazon. And yeah, I gave it to Lexi to celebrate her 21st. And during the surprise party that we had for her, I kind of prompted the gift of the helmet by just saying like, okay, Lex, because it's your 21st, I just want you to be safe and I don't want anything bad to happen to you. So I got you this present that will help you to be safe. And it was the helmet, and then everybody laughed and it was great. But she didn't wear it out. And I was like, girl, you got to wear the helmet out. So then obviously on my birthday, things were a little more lax and we didn't like go out and party. Like, I wasn't going to wear the helmet to brunch. Right? Like, I'm not going to do that. So like, this was brunch after church. I'm not getting rowdy. I don't really get rowdy anymore, guys. I don't have it in me. But anyway, I was not going to wear the helmet to brunch. So I was like, I'll wear the helmet to my workout. So brought the helmet to the gym on Monday, and I didn't wear it during the workout because it's way too heavy and I would feel so like discombobulated. I would feel like I had a bowling ball on my head. So after the workout, I just deadlifted with this gold bar that ESPC has. I don't know why they have it. Maybe it's for like special occasions. I think it is just special occasions. I just deadlifted with the bar and wore the helmet. And so many people were like, what is going on in this video? And I was like, well, this is 24. That's what's going on. Disco ball, helmet, and a gold bar. What else could a girl ask for? And then what else did we do? Oh, and then we went and got coffee. Oh, I had school. I had a ton of school stuff to do. So Lexi and my mom went shopping and I just sat in the house and did school, which I was so okay with because I was like, okay, I just want to chill, have some alone time. And you guys know how much I love being alone. So I just sat outside because it was such a beautiful day. Like, Jesus really just said, here, happy birthday, have beautiful weather. It was stunning outside. And then we went out to dinner. We ended up just going to McGarvey's because we wanted to go to Agave. But Agave was not open on Mondays, so that made me sad. But we went to McGarvey's, sat outside, drank a bottle of Prosecco, and just had fun. So that was kind of the birthday. Oh, and then my mom brought up a cake from this bakery in Selbyville, Delaware, called Sweet Disposition. And if you guys are in the Fenwick, Selbyville, Bishopville, Ocean City area, and you need a cake for any reason or any like baked goods, check out Sweet Disposition. They have the best cakes. These are not gluten-free. So if you are not, if you can tolerate a little bit of gluten, which I am doing better with, but and obviously I'm like, it's my birthday, I'm going to have the Sweet Disposition cake. Okay, I'm going to do it. You kind of pay for it with a tummy ache on the back end, but it's fine. It's totally worth it. Before I started recording this episode, I did stand in my kitchen with a fork and just kind of pick at the cake. The frosting was so good. Stunning, amazing, great. Sweet Disposition in Selbyville. You got to check them out. So that was kind of my birthday in a nutshell. And then this weekend, I'm super excited for this trip, but I'm also just like, I need a break from the celebrations. But we're going to Nashville. This Nashville trip has been planned for probably 4 years now. A bit of a backstory. We have another family that we're super close with, and they have two daughters that are around my age. So we're all in our 20s now, and we all agreed that when Lexi turns 21, because she's the youngest, we'll all go to Nashville. So the five of us girls are going with our parents, and it's going to be so much fun. And then my brother-in-law is coming, and Lexi's boyfriend is coming, and then my friend Megan is coming. So we're just going to have a blast, and I'm so looking forward to it. But I'm also just like, this is a lot of celebrating, but I'm not complaining because it's going to be the best. And one of my favorite things ever is just having all my favorite people in one place. And I just know that it's going to be such a good time. So stay tuned for next week where I'll recap all of that, because that trip has been planned for years and it's just going to be such a good time. However, I'm still taking a break from Instagram. Like, I deleted it off my phone again, and I wanted to like share bits and pieces of Nashville because I just know that it's going to be fun. So I figured that it might be kind of cool to just post on the 80/20 Instagram, like a recap every day. We're going to be there for 5 days, which is crazy. Oh, I just can't wait to be like back in a routine. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining though, but like, do you ever just get, my introverts will so understand, like when you just feel like, okay, I need to just like have my routine and not have like things to do and not have to be social. Actually, no, you guys are pretty good. You guys pretty much understand where I'm coming from in every scenario. So you guys get my drift when it comes to being overly social. I'm kind of stressed out about it, but that'll be okay. Anyway, all that being said, I think I'm going to post updates on the 80/20 pod account instead of my personal Instagram. So if you want to see what is happening in Nashville, just follow 8020 pod 8020 pod, and that is where all the fun will be, all on the podcast Instagram. We've broken the ice with a little life update, but now let's really just talk, just the two of us, about our feelings or lack thereof, because this episode is all about feeling again and how to work through feeling numb. And first and foremost, I just kind of wanted to preface this by getting us all on the same page about what feeling numb really means. And obviously, I only know from personal experience what this is like in my own life. So you all might experience this type of feeling differently, but it's even harder to describe because when you're like, oh, I'm just numb, you're not really feeling anything. In my life, this numbness or emptiness kind of comes about when I'm feeling extremely stressed. It comes about when I'm feeling really sad, or it comes about when I have unprocessed emotions. And I say unprocessed emotions in the sense of like something happened, but I've kind of put it in a little box in my brain and I don't want to deal with it. And so eventually it gets to a point where you don't want to deal with this stuff, so you're not really feeling anything, but eventually all that stuff has to come out. It has to have a place to go. And then that's when you start getting into extreme anxiety or panic attacks or just like crying for no reason, because all of a sudden you just like have all this emotion that you built up over time, but you weren't feeling anything for such a long time. Like, have you ever heard someone say, or maybe you've said it yourself, like, oh, I feel like I need a good cry, but I just can't get myself to cry? It's because you've been like emotionally blocked for so long that you just can't get yourself there. Like, you know you need to cry, you know you need to talk about it, you know that you need to release emotions, but you just can't bring yourself to do those things. That is numbness. It's happened to me time and time again. It's happened to friends time and time again. It's probably happened to you if you're listening to this episode. You're probably either right now feeling numb or in the past have felt numb before, and you are finally able to like contextualize it and make sense of it, especially if you're on the other side of it. It's one of those things that's like when you're in it, you really can't understand it. But when you're on the other side of it, you can be like, yeah, that's what that was. And that was because of that. Essentially, feeling numb or emotionally shut down is the side effect of other things going on in your life. And I think that you can be numb in certain areas and not numb in others. Like, you could be emotionally shut down when it comes to talking about a specific situation, but you could be fine talking about everything else that's ever happened to you. You could be emotionally shut down when it comes to relationships, but totally fine in your friendships. So it's really just depending on what's happened to you, what kind of baggage you're walking around with, what kind of trauma you've experienced, and all of it's totally okay. It's totally okay, but it's something that you have to work through. I wrote down a couple questions, just three questions, that if you're feeling numb, may help you to identify the root cause. The first question is this: in what areas of your life do you feel the most numb? Second question is there a trigger point for you? When someone brings up a certain situation, does it make you feel a certain way? When you wear a piece of clothing, when you drive down a specific road, does it bring up certain emotions that maybe you were numb to? Like today, for example, we drove down this road, like Lexi was driving and she took a road that I don't like to take. And it made me think of things that had happened that I had kind of just gone like immune to, in a sense, numb to, emotionally shut down to, or maybe things that I thought I was over. But all of a sudden, these feelings started to come back up. And I was like, wait a second, it really threw me through a loop. Because I didn't think that I cared about that anymore. I thought I was kind of numb to it. Turns out that's a trigger point for me. And then third question is this: how and when did this feeling start? Can you pinpoint the start date? Can you pinpoint how you were feeling before versus how you feel after? Those are three questions that I think can really, really help when it comes to starting to feel again. I'm not saying it's like the end all be all, but for me, writing is helpful. And for me, I find that it's the best way to get things out. Sometimes talking about things is just makes it worse. Like, you don't want other people's feedback. You don't want to hear what people have to say. You don't even want those stories out in the world. Just write about it. Something that has always been a contributing factor to my happiness has been feeling good physically. And that's why I'm super excited to team up with Funkit Wellness to bring you today's episode. Funkit Wellness is a food-based supplement brand with products formulated to help with all things hormone-related. Founded by dietitian Kate Morton, Funkit supplements support your body and hormones to help soothe and heal symptoms like PMS, painful and heavy periods, hormonal acne, low libido, low energy, and so much more. My favorite Funkit product would have to be the Seed Cycling Kit, which equips you with the right seeds to take depending on what phase of your cycle that you're in. Seed cycling is a holistic way to balance your hormones throughout the phases of your cycle. I love eating the 2 scoops of seeds every day in a smoothie on top of avocado toast or mixed in with some yogurt as if it's like a granola. And I always take my seeds with breakfast because it has become a small little habit with a huge impact on my life. Since I started seed cycling, my acne has nearly healed. My nails are so strong, like I can barely even use my nail clipper on them because they're so strong. My hair is growing like crazy in the healthiest way. And I've just experienced an overall better period and way less PMS symptoms, which is really, really incredible. Funkit uses high quality, fresh, and organic ingredients so you can feel your best no matter what time of the month it is. If you've listened to the show for any amount of time, you know that I'm a big believer in understanding your cycle for the sake of healthier hormones. And working towards healthy hormones is, in my opinion, one of the best things that a woman can do for herself. So embark on this hormone healing journey with me by checking out Funkit Wellness. You can use the link in the show notes or enter code 8020 at checkout for 15% off of your order. Again, that's code 8020 for 15% off of your order. Check it out. Something that I'm really learning is that I don't always have to chase the high highs and I don't have to chase the low lows. I can simply just be in the middle and be okay with that. And being in the middle doesn't necessarily mean that I'm numb. It just means that I'm like chilling. And it's okay to just be chilling. I don't always have to chase a high high or chase a low low. I think I feel everything so deeply that not feeling something deeply tricks me into thinking that I'm numb. Or maybe I really am just numb. Here I am just psychoanalyzing myself. But something that I found in my life that helps when I'm just not feeling anything at all. Because that's okay too. I mean, you don't always have to be like chasing a high high or a low low. You could just feel nothing at all. Something that helps when I'm feeling nothing at all is, as cliche as it sounds, hitting a really hard workout. Because sometimes emotionally, if you are looking for something, looking for a void to fill, there's so many options that you could go to feel or to not feel. That's a big reason why people start using substances, because they have an opportunity to feel or not feel, right? That's a big reason why people are like adrenaline junkies, because they get an opportunity to feel something like really real for 2 seconds and then go back to feeling nothing. So something that I like to do is hit a really hard workout. And I found that this is helpful. And I found that typically this will move out stagnant energy just being able to like go for a run or lift a barbell or do something of that sort typically helps me out in more ways than I even think it does. When I used to spin a lot, like I used to have a SoulCycle bike and I would go to spin classes and stuff. And this was when I was like pretty depressed. And after those, like I would, you know, not cry for like a week, but I knew I was sad and I knew I was stressed and I knew that like life was just really kicking me in the booty. But after those classes, I would just bawl my eyes out because it's so much emotion like trapped in your body, trapped in that little mental box that you've just suppressed for such a long time that just has to go somewhere. It has to get out. And so all of a sudden you just find yourself crying. But you did something about feeling numb. You tried to work out some of that suppressed emotion in a positive way instead of a negative way. Obviously, we can get into the whole like over-exercising thing, like been there, done that. You got to go read my chapter in the book, Deserts to Mountaintops. That'll explain a lot. If you haven't read it, I'll link in the show notes. But long story short, I think that fitness has been a huge outlet for me when it comes to feeling again, because I just push myself. And obviously you feel it in your body, like you feel the barbell shaking over your head, or you feel your legs like about to give out on like a super heavy move, but you're feeling something and you've been chasing feeling something. So it's good. When I was writing this episode, I was doing a lot of reflection on numbness. And like I said, specifically in my own life, because that's really the only experience that I can speak to. But I found that a lot of numbness for me comes in as a way of protecting me from my own feelings. Oftentimes when I'm feeling the most numb, I'm not doing my journaling. I'm not reading my Bible, and I'm not really paying attention to the things that make me feel the most because I don't want to feel at all. So one of the best things that I know that I can do for myself to start feeling again when I'm feeling numb is to write my journal and bring my fears and anxieties to God and just stop ignoring myself. Like avoiding yourself is so, it's so easy to do because it's hard. You're going to find out stuff that you didn't really want to find out. You're going to realize things that you didn't want to realize. But oftentimes that numbness is simply just a protective mechanism that you're using to keep you from understanding yourself on a deeper level. So what does it look like to feel again? How can you find little bits of happiness in the mundane or in the sadness? Maybe your life isn't just rinse and repeat. Maybe it's true sadness. Maybe you're really depressed. Maybe you're really anxious. Maybe you're really, really, really struggling right now. What would it look like to feel again? I've got three and a half questions for you guys if you want to write in a journal. What would feeling again look like? What do you hope to feel, or what do you want to feel? Is it joy? Is it simply crying for the first time? Is it laughter? Is it a release of some sort? Can you list two things that bring you the most happiness? So those are my questions. That was probably like more than three. I'll listen back and be like, no, Lily, that was like 2.5, but whatever. All right, let's chat about little ways to find happiness in the mundane or in the anxiety or in the depression. Because ultimately, getting yourself to a point where you can look at the sky and be like, oh yeah, it's cool that it's sunny today. That takes a lot of work. When you are so deep down in the dumps and you are emotionally shut down and just living in survival mode, looking up at the sky and being like, oh, that's a pretty sunset. That's hard. That's really, really, really hard to do. So as I list these things, don't think that I don't know it's hard, because I do. I know exactly what it feels like to wake up and be like, all I want to do is go back to sleep because I don't think that the world needs me. Trust me, I know. So let's talk little ways to find happiness. I'm talking like micro moments of joy in your daily life. I think first and foremost, you have to practice some sort of gratitude. You have to find joy in things, or gratitude in things that are just in your life already. Because it's one thing to sit here and be like, well, you know, if you won the lottery, then you could find happiness. Like, no, you have to be grateful for and find happiness in and find joy in the things that are already in your life. And I think that the best place to start is being grateful for what you already have. Even in your darkest moments, even in the toughest mental spots, there's got to be something to be grateful for. Even if you're just like, okay, I'm grateful that for some reason I'm up today. For some reason, I made it out of bed. Like, these wins don't have to be very big. A win is a win. Maybe the win is you got to talk to a friend on the phone. Maybe the win is that you got to listen to your favorite song on the way to work in the morning. Maybe the win is that you got to grab lunch from your favorite deli or something like that. I don't know. These little tiny wins could be the gateway to understanding what makes you the most happy. And it could be an opportunity to just practice gratitude and see that even though things might be hard, even though you might not feel your best or feel your happiest, there's still little bits of joy in your daily life. There's this theory that I saw going around. It was like the blue mind theory. And growing up by the water, it just makes the most sense that being by the water makes you happier. And I'm very blessed that I do live by the water. I mean, I live in Annapolis. There's just water almost everywhere you turn. But I really find joy and find happiness in being by the water. And I think that it brings me some sort of clarity. I think that being in the water brings me clarity. When I was my most anxious and my most depressed, I would hop in the pool. I was a swimmer growing up. And so that just brought me so much clarity and so much peace. I think that not having people in your ear, not having music, not having a screen in front of you, not being like overstimulated, just something about being in the water was so, so calming because it's just you. It's just you. So in my season of my most depressed, my most sad, my most anxious, my most stressed, I found so much clarity in the water. And I recommend that to anybody who's struggling. It's just so peaceful. Even if you didn't grow up as a swimmer, even if you aren't competitive, you don't have to be like literally just go to a sporting goods store, try on a TYR suit or a Speedo suit and just get something that is athletic that you can train in. Jolins are cute too. Get a cap, get some goggles and just go swim and try to find clarity that way because that helped me abundantly. I think that that's where I made some of my most important decisions, to be honest, was in the pool and still is to this day. Or alternatively, if the water doesn't do anything for you, maybe the mountains do, maybe the woods do, maybe running does, maybe just stepping outside and looking at the clouds does something for you. Whatever part of nature that makes you feel your best, go be there more. I also think too, it's really important to make sure that you're starting your day with something that brings you joy, whether it's a cup of coffee or putting on a podcast that you like or not scrolling Instagram first thing in the morning. For me, when I get on my phone first thing, I always feel so like down in the dumps. So phone is a big no for me in the morning and coffee is a big yes for me in the morning. So whatever piece of your morning routine makes you happy or just kind of makes you feel something, do more of that. It doesn't have to be this big elaborate morning routine that is, you know, vlog worthy and that, you know, they write Forbes articles about. Like, just do something in your morning routine that makes you happy, that brings you just a little teeny, teeny, teeny ounce of joy. I also think too, a big source of stress and a big source of anxiety for a lot of people is thinking about the future. That's probably my top worry, is considering the future and thinking about the future. Whenever I do that, I just take away whatever happiness I had in the present moment. Whenever I start worrying about like career this, future that, dating, kids, relationship, future house, future car, just like all this future stuff. Whenever I start thinking about that, it takes away my present joy. So whatever you do, I highly, highly recommend trying your best not to get overwhelmed with the fear of the future. Because the future is going to happen regardless. All those things are going to happen at some point in life. It just might not necessarily be on my timeline. It might not necessarily be in the way that I thought it was going to go, but it's all going to happen. So what's the rush? And all I'm doing is inhibiting the present moment from being the present moment. There's something so cool about just being here in this moment and being where your feet are. And even if it's not necessarily a great season of life to be in, it's your current season and you are there regardless of whether you want to be there or not. Obviously, it's good to have goals and aspirations to change, no doubt about it. But you got to be present. You got to be mindful of where you are right now. And lastly, I think it's important to spend time doing things that bring you the most peace. And for me, that is simply sitting in stillness. I kicked off this episode by talking about all these things that I have on my calendar and how, you know, I'm going away this weekend and I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed. And that's really just because I find the most peace sitting in stillness and not having a busy, overwhelming calendar and not being like, oh, I feel like I'm not an antisocial person, but I just get anxious thinking about social situations, and that's weird. And I don't know necessarily why. Like, I don't have social anxiety, but I'm just feeling overwhelmed at the idea of being like overly social. And that's okay. Because the thing that brings me the most peace is just sitting in stillness. And whatever brings you the most peace, you have to do more of that. And you have to find ways to interwork that peace into your daily life. So for example, this weekend, I'll get up in the morning and I'll have my coffee by myself. I'll read my Bible. I'll spend time with God. I'll write in my journal. And then I can start my day. Then I can be with people. Then I can be like nice to others and play well with others because I've checked my boxes. I found my peace first. It's kind of like, you know, when you're on an airplane and they say you got to put your oxygen mask on before you can help others. Same thing applies here. You got to find your peace before you can help others, before you can spend time with others, before you can be the person that people need you to be. You got to fill your own cup first. You got to find your peace. So whatever that looks like for you, whatever brings you the most peace, you got to do more of that. All right, you guys, that is it for today's episode. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that it brought you a little bit of inspiration and just letting you know that you're not alone and that life is hard and that you got this. And I'm cheering for you, rooting for you, and I'm in your corner. Love you guys lots. Have a great rest of your week, and I will talk to you soon.